You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Big Suey, a podcast exclusive.
Risky move.
Just when you thought the show could not be more diluted.
Walk the plank.
Bam.
No more free Disney trips.
Now here's the marching band of nowhere.
Matey.
Fat face.
Dan's been stress eating.
And the habitual liar.
Stugatz can't be trusted.
The Big Suey.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate radio life for me.
Adam Lefko is there with a very helpful advice to me to try unplugging everything and plugging it back in.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
And we have tried that, so thank you, Adam Lefko, for joining us. We are still in the same dire straits we were in before, where the shipping container is right now working in unison. Mike just told me we have no contact with them, as if phones. It's like a post-apocalyptic era around here. We're just in a studio. It feels like a zombie movie. I don't know if the power's working right. We don't have any engineers. It's just us in a studio, and we can't even reach the shipping container.
I mean, this was radio in the 80s. I mean, right. I feel alive right now. Okay. We have to just figure it out.
We might as well be doing this by walkie-talkie. And so now we're walkie-talkieing in Adam Lefko. He's got a busy night tonight, a weird night tonight, because during the pandemic, this is not the way this job was supposed to be for him, because this is a cool job, a big job. This is part of Adam Lefko arriving at some mainstream popularity, knighted by the big boys. That is the world outside of ESPN, where people want to exist to talk sports, and he's a part of what they're doing now on Tuesday nights, which is the younger version of what, you know, I think Charles is on the record saying he's only going to do this for a couple of more years and then he's going to retire. And so they're next. They're next over there when it comes to the basketball partnership.
He also has the Lefko Show podcast. It's the NBA on TNT, and it premieres tonight. And so, and Adam does a tremendous job. I've said this before, that I think he gets a better Shaq than Ernie does. I do. I just feel like Shaq's more comfortable with him.
And he's also, the reason that he's lining up for Ernie's throne as well over there is because he learns the things that you've got to learn in a way that is at least somewhat egoless in a business that has a whole lot of ego in it, that he is there to serve the others. Don't doubt, Adam, as someone who worships broadcasting and has learned and always wanted to do some of these things, that one of the things that you're writing down notes on Ernie on is because you know that he exists there to make sure that the other guys are the stars, that you almost don't even notice him, that he's just reeling it back in when things need to be a little more serious, because he's the arm that all of them respect and trust, and all those dudes would do anything for that dude. They're like family.
Yeah, and yet, when I talked about that last time, a little birdie told me that Chris Cody was saying that there's no way that Lefko actually does that. He's just saying that. It's all a lie. I wanted to see if Chris could, is he there? Is the shipping container
well,
alive?
Mike, can you call Chris in? We're going to do this so Wi-Fi here by walkie-talkie. Can you bring Chris in by walkie-talkie?
Lo-fi, we have no Wi-Fi.
Also, Dan, I realized by Stu Gatz's comment there that in a little way he's actually excited that the power has gone out. Because then he gets to reminisce about what it used to be like in radio, and he gets to teach those lessons again to the young whippersnappers out there.
I mean, I hear
it in his voice.
I'm telling you, Lefko, we should take faxes right now. I mean, we should. We should take a fax
or
two.
That's right. You started from the day where you were taking, instead of calls, faxes?
I used to hand Hank Goldberg faxes all the time.
Is that for real?
Here we go. Here come the stories, Dan.
Old-timey radio.
You spliced together a reel to reel. Remember that, Lefko?
All right. Well, Lefko's too young.
Oh, man, I was calling in on my rotary phone to give Howard Eskin the business.
Lefko, how old are you right now? Because he's here. You guys are a couple of menches cutting it up, but I feel like you're 10 years younger than Stugatz.
Yeah, I'm 34, so I don't know what the gap is.
Okay, but what the hell are you talking about? What do you know about faxes to the studio? You weren't you were the
no,
guy.
No, I don't. I can really connect well with, you know, Jewish guys that are lost in the past. That's sort of my demo.
Okay, so here is Chris Cody, and now he wants Lefko has called you out, Chris Cody, by phone. Go ahead, Lefko, file your complaint at Chris Cody so that he can defend himself here.
So the last time that I had the honor of being on this esteemed broadcast, I said that I was literally studying Ernie, that I was not listening to Charles or Shaq or Kenny, that I was trying to figure out the fine-tuned nuance of what has made Ernie Johnson a broadcasting legend and Hall of Famer for over 30 years. And I was told by some people that afterwards you were like, I don't believe Lefko. I don't think he's really doing it. And I just need to hear it mouth to ear.
Listen, man, it sounds great when you say it. You're taking notes. You're physically taking notes. And I believe you when you say that you're watching it and you are in you're mentally taking notes. I just question whether physical notes were taken. And it's nothing against you. It's just a thing a lot of people do where it's like, I got to oversell stuff and I got to, you know, make this sound a little better than it is.
I love
like,
it.
It's nothing against you, man. Nothing against you.
Right. Wow. You know, Chris, you're acting real Greg today. I just need you to know you're acting real Greg. I wish that we could have done this in some visual forum. I would have shown you my 8 different highlighters. I would have shown you my 5 different 5x8. Yeah, 5x8. You keep your 3x5s at home. And the fact that you would, in a public forum, chastise me like this. One, I respect the hell out of you. But two, I actually found it a little offensive, and we'll talk about it when I'm done.
It can't be both.
No, but I just love, what I do love, and when Lefko says, so very Greg of you, what I do love is that Chris has come up through the pipeline his way. And Lefko has done it his way. Lefko has been crafting this stuff in a meticulous way. He is about Chris's age.
Lefko's been following EJ, and Chris has been following me.
That's right. This is, and so what that has birthed, okay, is that Lefko is very meticulous about doing this job seriously, and Chris is Chris, who comes in and just says, well, I don't believe he takes notes, because that sounds
so
like
what you're saying is
love you, son.
We have been on a collision course, unbeknownst to ourselves, for years, for this moment. And now, you know, if Chris ends up being the heel in my story, I am pumped for where this thing
okay,
goes.
Okay, so you guys need to understand that Chris and Lefko came up the pipeline the same way. Look at what birthed what, okay? Because that's how it happens. Nepotism birthed Chris, who comes on here and questions how hard Lefko's working.
Yeah.
While we can't get the Wi-Fi around here to work. Chris, do you have anything?
Like a Nintendo cartridge? Can you lift up the Wi-Fi and like blow in it and maybe it starts working?
That's a good point.
He's tried that already. Yes.
So why don't you take a picture of these physical notes and send them to Chris just to shut him up?
So
I mean,
proof of what you're...
How about this? Stugatz, what's the fax number? I'm shipping it.
He's going to send us the notes. All right, we're going to get the notes. Thank you, Chris. Do you have anything else on your way out? We'll call you later.
I mean, I still don't believe that he wrote the notes.
Not a boy.
Okay. Entrenched in his position. All right, so Lefko's an Eagles fan. Before we talk about basketball stuff with him, he basically showed everybody this because I think he was the first one. You got to be kidding me. If you're an Eagles fan, that you go from Doug Peterson winning a Super Bowl with your backup quarterback to a coach, and you never get this with coaches. Hey, a coach reputed to not be that smart. So, Lefko, you do what? You set up the clip for us here because you're the one who introduced us to, oh my God, no, this is Eagles fans are being introduced to this?
This is what is so crazy is I just get a bunch of tweets that are like, yo, man, it's really not going well. So I take a part of my afternoon and I pull up the press conference on my phone. And after 5 minutes, I was like, what is happening? Like, this guy who didn't call plays, who has been working with Philip Rivers, so it's not like he's been doing a ton of work. The guy's like been in the league forever. He was pitched to the Eagles fans. Hey, he wowed us in the interview. Hey, guess what? He didn't even have a suit, so we dressed down to make him feel more comfortable. And so I'm like, man, this press conference is going to be amazing. And after 5 minutes, I'm like, nothing is coherent. And I'm not even talking about the way in which it's delivered. The sentiment of the statement, they don't even make sense. And so I took one 40-second clip. And Dan, when I tell you that there were multiple clips that could have been chosen, that when I picked it, I did not go, this video is going to have 22 million impressions and over 5 million video views, which is what that clip has, is going to rumble around the NFL circles, causing players and coaches to reach out to me to say, hey, man, you got them all wrong. And I'm like, I don't have anything wrong. I just took an unedited 40-second clip and said, are you kidding me? That's all I did. And I have Eagles fans saying that I'm a Fairweather fan. I only started rooting the Super Bowl. Someone said that, oh, because of course it was attached to Eric Bieniemy, that Adam wants the Eagles to hire a black coach, but he won't hire a black co-host. Meanwhile, my co-host is Brian Westbrook, legendary Eagles running back. And so you get in the eye of this storm, and I'm like, can we address the main topic, which is the fact that this guy said less thinking equals talent takeover, but of course not. It was a wild ride, and I have zero confidence in the team.
All right, hold on. I need to rewind everything and maybe not talk to Lefko at all. All about basketball.
On TNT, all he has is black co-hosts.
Oh, and yes, I mean, Dwayne Wade, I love the idea that Lefko is a racist who only works with white people. It's like, wait a minute, are you not looking around at how lonely he is on the TNT and TBS set? Because it's just him and Ernie out there. But let's backtrack for a second here, because I love that you were fairly benign, Adam. You didn't rip anybody. You're just looking, this real? I've just put up a 40-second clip of a guy sounding cartoonishly SNL, not smart. Like, we're spoofing how to not do this. And you weren't even critical. You were just saying, what the hell is this? This can't be right. How does this reflect the franchise that I love? And you turn, and it becomes a race war in which you become a racist.
Yes, and I think it was unbelievable to watch in real time, because I didn't say, oh, they should have hired somebody else. I didn't say this guy seems underqualified. I didn't say any of that. I just, you know, put it out there. And it was the first time that I had felt the wrath of the franchise that so many other media people have bemoaned publicly. Oh, man, Eagles fans are tough. Eagles fans are tough. It's never come at me before. And for the first time, I was like, I totally get why people hate us. Like, it all made sense in those few hours. No, it shook me to my core, Dan. It was 2 days of, like, I don't even want to go on Twitter anymore because these comments don't even make sense. But apparently, I am myopic in my view of the race of my coaches that I desire. I don't know.
I have no idea what's going on here. I mean, your co-host in life is black, no?
Yes, my fiance is Nigerian, but of course, you know, listen, it's been a long weekend, but luckily I can get prepared for tonight.
It really should be on the wedding invitations. My co-host in life is Nigerian.
Please don't cancel me.
I hope you
didn't
hear that.
Lefko. No, it doesn't need to end. This segment never needs to end because we need to play this sound, because I can't believe that Lefko has arrived at this place in the universe at 34 where he's in the middle of a swirl. I mean, Lefko just wants to be here to pal around, slap you on the back, have a good time, and, you know, be smart and do journalism, do some jokes. Hey, sports are fun. And now he's being dragged through the streets of Philadelphia as a racist, blurting, hey, my co-host in life is Nigerian.
Next thing that's very important to me is that we build a smart football team, that we have a smart football team here. And I know we have the people in place to do that. The first part of that, the first part of being smart is knowing what to do. We're going to have systems in place that are easier to learn. All right. Complicated to the defense or offense that they're going against, but easy for us to learn. Because when we can learn our system and we can get good at our system, then our talent can take over. Less thinking equals talent takeover, but we need to have systems in place, and we will have systems in place to do so.
Lefko, it's infuriating. Do you get angrier as you listen to it?
There is a scene in The Office where Michael Smith is asked, why is he responsible for the success of the branch? And he goes on a 40-second ramble of nothing. And afterwards he says, you know, sometimes I start conversations and I don't even know where they're going. It's like,
improvisations. And it was that to a T. Like, it was as if he wrote down on his paper a bullet point that said, keep it simple. And then was like, you know what? It's just a Zoom call with a bunch of media people. I'm going to wing it. He had a week. He got hired a week before. And it's just, I just sat there dumbfounded. And then people were texting me. They're like, listen, it's even worse when it gets to the Q&A portion. I couldn't even watch it. I couldn't handle it. It shook me, man.
You called him Michael Smith. It's Michael Scott. You had him hosting the Sixth Sports Center.
Yeah, you did. But Lefko, I don't understand. As I'm watching what has just happened to you, I can't believe that what you're saying is true. There's no way that that whole press conference was like that, Lefko. That can't be a random 40-second snippet.
No, in telling you, it started off, he started going around on different topics. He started saying, he seemed like he tried to play to the Philadelphia fans, and he was like, listen, it's all about situational football. There's a clip I like to show to people of the Villanova shot to win the game, and you could tell that they knew what to do in that situation. And I was like, are you speaking to kindergartners? The fear that I have is like through the roof about what's going to happen next season.
Okay, so Mike, did we all experience that the same way where we're listening to him and the delivery is so not coach, so not win the press conference, so not presidential that we're all hearing that, wait a minute, this is the guy who's not ready for the school project. He's faking his way through this press conference trying to say things that people want to hear, and he's stumbling around because he's sort of faking his way through the book report.
I just couldn't believe that he fulfilled all the stories about him, because I've never heard when a coach was hired, hey, this guy's not smart. And then that press conference immediately confirms all the reports.
How's that possible?
I hope he wins and wins big.
Yeah, I hope so too. my crowning glory in terms of, hey, you guys overrate the leadership is Les Miles eating grass on the sidelines while winning a championship.
I want this guy to fix Carson Wentz and win 5 Super Bowls with him.
Oh, please.
Let's have
the dumb guy beat Bill Belichick. At the end of his career, Belichick can't figure out how to get past the dumb guy.
You can't play this clip and not have a conversation about Eric Bieniemy, because it's absurd to me that Eric Bieniemy is not being hired when he's standing next to the guy, yet all the guys that stood next to the guy 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 are getting hired. How do you circumvent that process? Wait, because you stood next to the guy that you just fired, his old OC? I don't understand what's happening.
Take it to this level too. So this guy, after it, I was like, I need to see what his coaching tree was. And so he started off in Kansas City under Todd Haley. And then he moved to the Chargers, where he's under Wiz and Hunt, and he was working with Philip Rivers. And then in comes Frank Reich, and he became, it seems like, Frank Reich's like number one guy. And so is it worse not taking the guy next to the guy, as Mike says, Eric Bieniemy next to Andy Reid, where if they win on Sunday, he has the same amount of Super Bowls as Vince Lombardi and Don Shula. And yes, he coached your franchise before, and maybe you're a little bit salty about it, but you did hire Peterson. But on the other side, you're just going to take the offensive coordinator that got away's guy? Like, are we ready to start hiring Frank Reich's guys as if he is Andy Reid? Like, I don't think we're ready for that comparison. So this guy didn't call plays, just like Eric Bieniemy. I think it's very fair. And I think that I have watched Eric Bieniemy's press conferences many times. And while there have been moments where I'm like, you know what? I don't know if he's got the conviction to lead the room. I'll tell you what, after I watch that, sign me up. Like, it's not even close. And I think it is. I don't think it's not healthy, or I don't think it's presumptuous. I think it's necessary to go time out. Why was this guy not okay and this one is, even though it's only after a press conference?
I mean, what it ends up being, though, in this America, and this is not where I thought this conversation was going to end up, because I prefer to just laugh at the dumb guy. But I will say that Bieniemy can now be held up in this particular America after this summer, after we may have already forgotten, because they're back to playing sports, that the NFL, the conservative NFL, kind of just sort of in front of everyone caved on, hey, you know, we got it all wrong on the Kaepernick thing. And you guys who were arguing for 3 years, yes, Nathan Peterman deserves a start more than Colin Kaepernick. And you guys were saying on merit, he wasn't that good at the end at San Francisco. And you just saw what happened to Deshaun Watson being good and finishing 4-12 because it's hard to be good in that sport. He was still a good quarterback in his prime. That Bieniemy is the coach of our time in real time, where we're all like, oh, come on, man. Like, you just gave the Philadelphia dumb guy the job, where Bieniemy is the guy that, where the black man's standard has to be that much higher than the white man's, because what the black man gets a lot in these press conferences, Stugatz, is doesn't do the press conference well enough, or doesn't do the interview well enough. Or in the case of the Dolphins, when they're hiring clowns like Cam Cameron instead of Mike Nolan, because they're
Mike Tomlin,
excuse me, because their COO, who appointed himself, white guy who was a search firm,
yep,
to find the next CEO of the Dolphins, looks in the mirror, finds himself in an interview with Mike Tomlin and says that guy is too hip-hop, and then hires a bunch of people who looks like him. I mean, you can look at Bieniemy in real time and be like, look how much harder it is for a black man. In the Trump America.
Dan, the Eagles coaching staff looks like Dude Perfect. Like, I'm telling you, they look like a bunch of guys in the backyard making videos of throwing toilet paper onto the rack from like 40 feet away. It's 100% resonating with the owner. It has to. It's the only thing that makes sense.
For all the good that the Rooney Rule has done, because I've read articles that tout the fact that the NFL has never been blacker in coordinating positions and executive level positions, it's really doing good work. But there are very few black examples of a guy like Brandon Staley or Nick Sirianni. Yeah, Brian Flores is probably the best comp as a guy that stood next to Bill Belichick. Wasn't really, we don't know how much he was involved in making that defense successful, and he gets a job in his mid to late 30s. He's like the only example of that, but Nick Sirianni's come a dime a dozen.
It kind of reminds me of Popovich and what he's doing down in San Antonio with Becky Hammon. I think that it's what I'm seeing from Belichick. It's what I see from mainly, though, Bruce Arians and Andy Reid. I think it's something that will be a topic this week, is the fact that on one side of the ball, it's going to be Eric Bieniemy going up against Todd Bowles, two of the coordinators that were passed over in this process, whose defense for Todd Bowles carried that team to the Super Bowl, and the offense carried the Chiefs to back-to-back. I think the fact that Bruce Arians, all of his major coordinators, special teams, defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, all people of color, the fact that he has women on his staff, you know, I hope when Sean McVay went to the Super Bowl, everybody said, that's what I want. Because he's at this stage, it shows it's proven commodity, it can be successful. My hope is that we can also look at the diversity of these staffs over this week and go, wow, it is possible, it is doable, and I want that.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Adam Lefkoe with us, the Lefkoe Show pod. Check that out wherever you get your podcast. NBA on TNT premieres tonight, the Tuesday edition with Lefkoe, Shaq, Dwayne Wade, and the guys. A great show, and Adam does a tremendous job. The Sixers are better this year than they were last year. Why?
Because Doc Rivers has this team going in a way that Brett Brown didn't. And I think, one, Embiid looks more focused and he looks in better shape. I think that by having guys like Danny Green and Seth Curry, if we're going to go really deep, they're just two guys that know where to go. I know that you guys had Josh Richardson for a few years in Miami, very talented player, but not great without the ball. So suddenly there's space for Simmons and Embiid, and Embiid's playing at an MVP level. I also think that there's just, with the league, with certain teams missing a bunch of games because guys having COVID or postponements, the Sixers have been able to handle it pretty well. They got theirs very early on in the season, and they're in a bit of a groove. But if I was going to go a little deep in the weeds, two nights ago, They went on a 21-2 run against the Pacers after losing the entire game. And every Brett Brown game that I have ever watched, it was the opposite of that. Where the Sixers would normally be up for three quarters and blow it, it was the first time in 5 years where they've been down for three quarters in my mind and won it. So I think they're a real contender, but I also think that the Eastern Conference team we're going to see tonight is the contender, which is the Brooklyn Nets taking on the Clippers, 7 o'clock NBA on TNT Tuesday.
Okay, even though Brooklyn's got the worst defensive net rating in the history of the sport, even though they're trending that way. Before we talk about that and basketball, though, I'd like to backtrack for a second because Lefko really knows what he is talking about, okay? He has studied, he is meticulous, and he knows his stuff as it comes to these things that we're talking about. It's not just him making it up or winging it. But you said at the start of that answer to the Sixers that Doc Rivers has got him going, and you said at the end, Brett Brown, it didn't look like that. My question to you, Lefko, who's not a coach worshiper necessarily, if I ask you what matters more, Doc Rivers got him going, or they traded Al Horford and Josh Richardson, who fit less well than Curry and shooters, and now they're going to trade for Redick, and Morey's going to turn it into a three-point shooting team, and the reason he took that job is because, wait a minute, two young superstars? Yes, please, I'll take that. Go ahead and criticize Simmons all you want. I'll take a guy who creates more threes than anyone in the league. Which one's more responsible there in terms of analysis?
Man, that's just the ultimate sports radio question. In a sports world where we know that there's a percentage for everything, which one is more? I would say that what Morey has done, I think when you said the unloading of the Horford contract, I cannot express how much of an energy suck his presence was on the court. So I would say that the moves that Morey made are probably more because it gave the roster for Doc. But I guess what I'm seeing out of Embiid and what I'm seeing out of Simmons, and the fact that Simmons and Embiid like each other, Dan. Like, there were questions in Philadelphia for years if these two even wanted to coexist. And their energy on the court now is different. I give all of that to Doc. It's a different type of experience when you go from a coach where he's always been there and he lets you get away with everything, is what it seemed like with Brett, to a guy like Doc that can talk to these people as professionals, as men, at a different level of accomplishment. But I think the roster building is probably more because the pieces are just better. But I'm telling you, Doc has them friends again. It's nuts.
Stugatz, do me a favor, please. Promote one more time what it is that Lefko's got going on both tonight and with his podcast, and I've got a return favor to ask him on behalf of our audience.
Attaboy. NBA on TNT premieres tonight, the Tuesday edition with Shaq, Dwayne Wade, and Adam Lefko, and also the Lefko Show pod.
And Candace Parker.
I'm sorry about that. And Candace Parker. My apologies to her. And the Lefko Show podcast available wherever you get your podcast.
Let's do this. Can you, for our audience, would you be kind enough to drop a phrase or two from our show into your broadcast tonight?
Okay, so let me just set some lines. This is the issue with this show. We have a pregame show that's 15 minutes that starts at around 7. Then we have a halftime, all that. And then the postgame show starts after the second game, which is Warriors-Celtics. So the question I have for you is, are we trying to get in that pregame slot, or do you want it in the postgame, which is where more of the craziness happens?
Oh, well, we'd be just honored wherever it is that you were thinking of us. So we don't want to get but how many phrases are we allowed?
I guess it depends on the phrases. So
okay.
Let's hear what we're working on.
All right, I'm going to give you a handful of phrases, and you tell me what you might deem worthy.
But Lefko's being a good friend here, where he's saying, is there a certain portion, perhaps there's more viewers at a certain part?
Well, but I don't want to get greedy that way. I'm happy wherever it is that he puts it, right,
and
Lefko?
That's the difference between two of you. You know, Dan is like, I don't want to be greedy, and Stugatz is like, for the biggest impact, we'd like ours dropped immediately upon starting the show.
Yes, can you make your broadcast a tapestry just of phrases from our show?
Seems like you're offering.
Also, promote stupidity for me. Okay, so Stugatz's I Didn't Ask for Any of This has been nominated.
Okay, I'm just going to write these down. I Didn't Ask for Any of This, okay?
Hold the Line or Diamond Hands. I don't know how much you want to go into pop culture referencing of, hedge fundy things.
See, Diamond Hands is easy. You know, Diamond Hands, I'm just waiting for an assist, kind of like a no look
and you don't have to worry about DeAndre Ayton with those diamond hands. So that's an easy one. I can fit that in whenever.
Okay. Right. How about Try Me? Yesterday on the show, for some reason, Roy became an action hero in a movie, and he tested someone, and he said, "Try me," as his catchphrase. I don't know if that's any good for you or not. I will leave it in your hands, and you decide what you want. The bomb in a bag of chips has been thrown into the mix because of how awkwardly Ron McGill ended a segment last week. The bomb and a bag of chips.
That one's going to be tough. Right. Bomb and a bag of chips.
I'm sure Shaq will be kind to that one.
Yeah. Okay. So hold on. Is there another one? We've got four. I didn't ask for any of this. Diamond hands, try me, and bomb in a bag of chips.
And I'd give you Marching Band to Nowhere as well. If you could, any one of those five, any of those five. We understand if you can't. We feel greedy as it is. We feel.
I don't.
We feel greedy and awkward. I simply can't believe, though, Lefko, and we'll let you go on this note. My apologies. I just can't believe the center of the swirl that you were in as an Eagles fan and a professional broadcaster, where you had to get away from social media because the things that were happening were unreasonable.
It actually prepared me for tonight. This is my segue, because now I understand why these athletes have burners. Like, I totally get it. Because the thing is you look and you're like, wow, that was 40,000 retweets and blah, 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 blah. And then you go and look at, like, a KD account, and you're like, he gets that on every tweet. And so it actually very much made me understand the necessity for burners. But to be honest, I also think it was the universe saying, put down your phone and prove Chris Cody wrong, and bring out all those Ernie Johnson notes, and you study those notes. And I am dedicating my performance tonight to Chris Cody. His just slander is giving me a sense of purpose. I am going to go to the gym right now, and I'm going to bang out some push-ups.
Yes.
And tonight, when I look into that camera, Chris, I want you to know that I'm looking not into your eyes, but into your soul.
That is so
good.
Can't
wait to watch that.
Yes, I can't wait to watch it as well.
Did you just wrestling promo us?
That was amazing, Lefko.
Also, I admire your dedication to going to the gym, but I think you can do push-ups at home.
Hey, Chris. Try me.
Yeah, let's go.
Right. Yes, Adam, thank you. We will do it more often, time permitting on your end.
Love you guys. Of course, I'm always down.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.